Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook.
So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Hey, yo! Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome in here to the October 3rd edition.
Yes.
Fall is in the air.
It is. It was a little chilly this morning again. I keep telling y'all, man. It's crazy.
Brisk 88 degrees outside. We welcome you in here to the Monday edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
Acknowledge me.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Hold on. I got you.
What more do you want from me?
Press that button one more again, would you please? Just hit that one more time.
What more do you want from me?
And shout out to the best in Sacramento, Jesse Tapia. Jesse Tapia, of course, voted best in Sacramento.
Yeah, shout out to Jesse, man. This dude, man. Wow, what a come up.
He's taking over the world, man. And we are thrilled that you are here with us. We have got 49er football today.
Yes, indeed.
We've got Kings basketball tonight. Come on, man. We got Kings and Lakers tonight. Oh, you know they're desperate over at the Athletic. They said, hey, Shams, we got to get our hit-ups. No problem. I'll recycle some Lakers content and put it out there as if it's news. Here you are, NBA world, on the eve of the Lakers kicking their preseason off against the Sacramento Kings tonight in Los Angeles. We've got a fresh batch of rumors, which wasn't even remotely close to a fresh batch of rumors. Shams reports that a Russell Westbrook deal may still be on the table.
They just be saying at some point, man.
Like, what are you talking? Like, Russ literally said a week ago, I know they don't want me here, but I'm here. Everybody has that coworker that they know they don't want around. Like, I get it. I know that. This is what we passing off as news. But that's what happens when basketball is underway. Some strange things happened last night and yesterday, and we'll talk about that. I don't know what they all mean, man, but they low-key weird. We'll talk about those. Of course, we'll get caught up. Week 4 of the NFL season, the Raiders get their first win.
Yeah, good for the Raiders, man. A much-needed win. Season is still alive, like I said. I said this last week. Season's not over just because you started 0-3? Is that what they want?
No, that's not what they want.
I'm still strong.
They are. Let's say last week, season's not over at 0-3. You need to win on Sunday. They got the win.
We were accused of writing them off on Sports Sunday last night. I was like, hey, that is absolutely not true. We did not write them off.
That's right.
It wasn't the prettiest win in the world, man, but they got it done. 49ers game day coming up in the final hour of the show. We'll get you ready for the 49ers and Rams.
And I was just going to say, it was a big road win for the Raiders last night.
Oh, stop it.
What?
It
was still on the road, right? It was orange everywhere.
Stop this.
Hold on, let me check my notes. I thought there was a damn rope. All the orange I saw. Broncos at Raiders. Well, damn, you're right. It was Broncos at Raiders. I guess I was wrong. Damn, I thought it was Broncos. I thought it was Raiders at Broncos. It was really Broncos at Raiders. My bad.
Kenny, you stupid. You're dumb, bro. Leave the Raiders alone. Leave Las Vegas alone. You're going to get us in trouble with Sarah Hodges, man.
Once again, I don't blame that on the Raider fans, though. I told I told people 5-6 years ago when L.A. and Vegas were on the table, this was what was going to happen.
Oh, everybody knew that. Everybody knew that.
And it's no problem. Like, it's not, I'm not saying don't go to Vegas or L.A. if you're the NFL. You have to do it. I'm just saying this is just, this is what it is.
The game was low-key trash. I'm going to be honest. Hey, you take them wins, but they got a, it was a handicap match. I think Nathaniel Hackett was with the Raiders last night. He was low key silver and black. He must have gotten comped at the room. He got comped at the room because he was. I got questions. Not going to take away from the Raiders win. Raiders won. That's what matters. And sometimes you just need to get that one. Maybe they could get cooking. I was thrilled to see Josh Jacobs work last night. So we'll get into all of that. But as I said, we've got Kings basketball.
That's
tonight.
Right. That's right.
And there was a ruckus, if you will, on social media over the weekend because it appears there was a Pruder film everywhere from Matt George and Sean Cunningham and James Hamm, and it Kenny, I think the Kings are being coached. I think the Kings are being coached, and the Kings universe didn't know how to react. They were like, "Hey, what is this? What is it? What is he doing? It sounds like he's teaching. This sounds like he's coaching." It seemed to be a very unfamiliar sight to not only those watching the video, but might have been an unfamiliar sight for those that were in the video. Because a lot of media made a really big deal about a moment with Mike Brown where it looked like, did the starters beat the reserves 12-1? If you watch the scoreboard in the corner, as Brandon Nunez pointed out, we saw a shot. I can't remember who hit the shot. We saw a shot get made. Ball gets inbound. De'Aaron just kind of flings it, and it goes three quarters of the court, goes in, and you see the scoreboard change. 12-1. It was like, wait a damn minute. And that's I think where the cameras started rolling, when everybody huddled up before they broke away to go do free throws. And Mike was talking to, I'm reading James Hamm's write-up. Obviously I wasn't there, and putting together all of the videos and the different things all of the people who were there had to say, Mike was holding Davion accountable. Mm-hmm. For, you know, and he talked about this later, like, yo, Davion and De'Aaron, I think he used the head of the snake line, but I feel like if we just stop saying it, maybe everyone else will stop saying it too. You're the leaders out there on the floor is basically what he said. Like, De'Aaron, you run that first unit, Davion, you run that second unit. And when stuff gets ill, you're responsible. It's your job to slow things down or speed things up. It's your job to get things going. It's your job to get your crew functioning. And it was a good moment to see from Mike last night, over the weekend.
Absolutely. Now, can I just say my piece?
You may.
I don't mean to be like this.
That's okay. You're going to be like this anyways.
The things that I saw from that clip, while very good and very accurate, and that's elementary in coaching. And I say that not to disparage Mike Brown, but people are like, oh, this is what accountability looks like.
Look
at the Kings getting caught. You really believe he didn't say these things to them?
No, I don't.
You don't believe he said these things to them?
No.
Come on, Damian. Come on, man.
Yo, don't ask a question if you don't want the answer. I don't.
Come on.
Maybe he did, and he didn't. Maybe he said it in a different way. Like, no, I don't believe that.
These things on the airwaves. So you mean to tell me an NBA coach ain't saying these things?
You asked. I answered. Don't get mad at me.
I answer it. I'm just telling you, like, just because you guys saw it in a clip, or we saw it in a clip, doesn't mean it wasn't being said. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Now here's the deal.
Or we saw it in a clip and it was never being said.
Here's the deal. You know what? I wasn't in the locker room. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he never did say it.
Here's another thing about that specific clip, and that's all we're going off. We only got one clip to go off, right?
Mm-hmm.
In what world was Davion the leader of the second unit last year?
To me personally, it don't matter what leader of the second. He's a point guard. That's your leader. Is what I just say last week. Your point guards lead from the front. I don't care if you're the second unit or we're running liners. You're the point guard.
No doubt.
You lead. This is what he's been told in Sacramento and Baylor and Auburn and Georgia. You're the point guard. You lead. This is not Davion Mitchell. Oh, my gosh. You know, I've never been told that I'm supposed to be the leader as the point guard. Never heard that before. Like this is bare basic things, but we see it, so we're assuming these are the first times he's ever been told that stuff. He's the first time he's ever been coached here in Sacramento. I think Alvin Gentry was probably telling him the same things. Now, here's where coaching does come into play, in my opinion. Just because four people are saying the same thing doesn't mean all four people know how to relay that message so it gets through to the people. Or they doesn't mean that all four people can get other people to buy in and believe into what they're saying. So this is where it could be a difference between Mike Brown and Luke Walton. They could be saying the same exact things, but Mike Brown is a little more relatable. Mike Brown has a little more cachet to these guys where, all right, well, I know if I don't listen to Mike, like, I'm going to be sitting down, or he's got five championships or whatever to be doing all that. That's where the difference is. But the fact that it was being said, it absolutely, in my opinion, has been said before.
I go back to what I said a few seconds ago that I just think you blatantly ignored. The fan base seems to be genuinely shocked that the team was being coached.
No, that's them.
We'll come back. We'll talk a lot more. Mike Brown said a couple of other really interesting things that got our attention. Again, nothing super shocking. Actually, things that we've been talking about for weeks here, only confirmed by Mike Brown. And Harrison Barnes spoke pretty openly about his status with the team as well. We'll dive into all of that. Of course, it's 49ers Monday, brought to you by Gilmore Heating, Air, and Plumbing. You get more with Gilmore. We've got Monday Night Football that we'll dive into here. We'll look back at Week 4. Much more ahead here as D'Lo and KC continue on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Collectively, man, sports fans are weird, dude. Just straight up weird.
Like, that's just all good, huh? Bills Mafia.
And energy is odd. I just, I like, I'm, there's some people having a,
just really enjoying like the fact that Lamar lost yesterday, and I just find that really strange. Y'all weren't acting like it was the demise of Justin Herbert last week, but it's cool, y'all. Yeah, I mean, if Lamar bothers you that much, go ahead and get you some. We're gonna talk about Lamar, because if y'all want to put that on him, that's all right. Certainly, he's the one who threw an interception, but ooh,
hey,
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Just be honest, people are praying for Patrick Mahomes' downfall.
Yeah, y'all might want to pray a little bit harder.
I might want to give it up. It ain't happening.
It appears your God is not listening to that one. Your God has made the decision to not listen. That dude was goofing off last night in a major way. On a night where Brady still throws like three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Damn near 400 yards.
It's too much. Can't keep up, man. Can't keep up with this stuff. Hey man, I was watching the game last night. I'm not there. Damn, there might be a change in the KCC strap, bro. and I got it on Lamar right now because that's my guy. But 15.
Who has
crazy.
Mine? I don't think I ever changed mine.
Oh, look whose belt is in shambles now.
I don't think I ever changed mine. Does Patrick Mahomes still have my title?
I don't think he
Lamar. Had. Lamar has Jesse's, right?
So I'm a little confused. Either Josh Allen or Lamar has mine.
Oh, Josh Allen has mine. Oh, Josh Allen
yeah,
has
I mean,
mine.
Josh Allen has mine.
These
too.
People don't even know who got
Josh
that strap,
Allen has
man.
Mine.
Come on, man. They talk about mine. They talk about the KCC. They don't even know.
Well,
who the
at least someone
is.
Has ours.
At least got mine.
You went 2 weeks without someone having your belt.
Yeah, like you awarded yours in a WrestleMania tournament and then didn't give it away. Had a big screw job finish and then just handed it to Lamar Jackson like Ric Flair handed Triple H the title or Eric Bischoff handed Triple H the title however many years ago. Come on,
whoever
man.
Whoever wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal gets his well.
Hey, Tony Khan Caraway.
Look, hey, it might be changing hands again. How am I going to sit here? And the only reason it's not changing hands because, eight, that's my dude right there. That's my guy. So I'm going to give him leeway and benefit of the doubt. But how could anybody say 15
yeah,
is the best?
Come to think about it, mine's changing hands right now. it's time for Patrick Mahomes to get his title back. He's now the two-time DLO champion of the world. Josh Allen, Josh Allen, a little sketchy right now. The Bills will be fine, but I'm giving it back to Patrick Mahomes.
I just want to see one more week. I mean, that's not really going to make a difference. Like, he's still that dude. But I told you, I'm giving Lamar benefit of the doubt because not that I don't like Mahomes, but I love Lamar. Hey, that's my boy right there. So I'm just probably giving him a little more leeway. But I was watching that game last night like, jeez, boy. This dude.
Well, it's funny.
This dude Mahomes is
so
crazy, bro.
He's a baby face again. Because all of that underhanded stuff, like, oh, he... You've got to calm that stuff down if you're Patrick Mahomes after he loses the Super Bowl. Like, you know, you just can't keep that stuff up long term. The no-look passes that started getting intercepted. All of a sudden, he turned babyface because he did it against Brady in primetime?
Nah, he
they
just...
Was, I mean, or maybe it was because nice. Chris Collinsworth was on the call and he was... He was that Vince McMahon meme every time Patrick Mahomes did anything.
Yeah, I had the volume down, so I don't know. But...
Pray your significant other loves you the way Chris Collinsworth loves Patrick Mahomes. Man, goodness gracious.
Damn, Mahomes is tough.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is the DLO champion of the world.
I'm holding on. I'm holding on for you, Lamar. Come on, I'm holding on, but it's tough right now. It's tough. You got to give me something.
we'll get to all of this.
Yeah.
That was collectively not Lamar overall, especially against the Bills defense, played well. But man, those two interceptions will kill you, and that one late, man, that is brutal, just brutal.
Yeah,
but he had some highlights in there. He had some plays two quarterbacks in the league can make.
We'll talk about that. That game a little late, but I just do want to say that last interception late. Look in real time, like, oh, what are you doing, Lamar? looking back on the replays and stuff, hey, tip your hat to the defense a little bit too. Because that safety, the recognition he made, because I forgot who the receiver is, was wide open in the corner of the end zone. Wide open, blown coverage, busted coverage, all this other stuff. Lamar saw him. That safety recognized it in time and made a hell of a play, man. I'm not saying Lamar and Harbaugh aren't at fault for the play call or the play, but sometimes you got to tip your hat to the defensive plays that are made. In that case, after seeing the whole picture of what happened there, I'm going to tip my hat to the defense there. That was a hell of a play by the safety.
Yeah, and a big win for the Buffalo Bills that we'll get to as we roll along here. Sacramento Kings back on the floor tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers. Talking about a practice over the weekend, Mike Brown spoke following, I believe it was Saturday's practice, spoke to the media. He said, focused on a 9-to-10-man rotation headed into the regular season. Mm-hmm. Nothing particularly surprising there. Did say, look, De'Aaron's going to start, Domas is going to start, and Harrison Barnes is going to start. Those other two starting positions are up for grabs right now.
Yeah,
and that's I appreciate that. It's not that any of us didn't know that, but for a coach to come out and say, "Yeah, your guesses are accurate. There's two spots up for grabs. Here's who's starting. These two positions are wide open. Here's what I'm looking at in terms of a rotation," and that's something that James Hamm has been saying here on this show as we've tried to figure out guys like KZ Akpala and Terrence Davis, and are these guys going to be involved in in the lineup, Chimezie Metu, Chime Moneke, you know, going through a bunch of different guys, figuring out how can they crack the rotation? Do they crack the rotation? Do they become energy guys? Do they become guys that nothing else is working? Let's get these guys in here. And Mike Brown kind of confirmed that. Focus on the 9-to-10-man rotation. If we can get to 10, we'll be in really good shape. If we only get to 9, I took that as we might only get to 9. And that's all right, but if we can get to 10, there's a lot we could do with that. So yeah. I think that it sounds like there's still a lot these guys need to prove to Mike Brown.
Yeah, I mean, there is work to be done by a lot of guys on that roster as far as solidifying their spot, solidifying their playing time, and their role in the rotation. I like the idea, especially in the regular season. Of 9-to-10 guys. You may shorten that up a little bit in the playoffs and later in the season. But it feels like, to me, 9-to-10 guys is about what you need to get through the grind that has become the NBA season. Like we talk about baseball, right, 162. You think about the NBA schedule, it's starting to feel like a bit of a grind. Like,
sure.
Damn, this is a long season. And trying to get everybody through that healthy and being able to play at a high level. I am a believer that you need a 10-man rotation in the regular season just to kind of not wear these guys out a little bit. So I like hearing that from Coach Brown as well.
And that may not be a night-to-night 10-man rotation either. It could be an idea of having a 10-man rotation, but we're in a tight one against the Mavericks. And it's best to run these 8 because we've got to win this game.
You know, right. And also, 10-man rotation doesn't mean everybody playing 20 minutes a night. Mm-hmm. You know, the 9 and 10 in that rotation, they may get 12 minutes a night. You know, the 6 minutes at the 6 minutes a half or something like that, or even less than that. You know, the final 3-4 minutes of a half or to start the quarter or something like that. That just means they're getting in. But it may not affect the bulk of the minutes for the guys who are playing the big number of minutes.
Harrison Barnes spoke this weekend as well. A bit of a lengthy clip here from our guy, James Hamm. Let's take a listen to HB following practice on Saturday.
With the baby and your wife and being here a little while, do you envision a longer term future than just to come here? And how much do you want to maybe get extended and be able to know what the future holds?
I mean, it's nice to be settled. And I remember when I first came here, I think our first game was against the Heat,
and Coach Yeager threw me out there, and I had no plays. And I'm running up and down. I've been in sack for 48 hours, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I played like 30 or however many minutes that night, right? And you're just like super chaotic to now, you know, having a couple years here, getting familiar, getting settled. And that stuff means a lot. So, you know, to be able to be here, you know, obviously we'd love to have more wins and love to, you know, have accomplished more from a team perspective. But, you know, it's been great developing a relationship with these guys. This organization, welcome in.
Harrison, Seattle Mariners, they just broke a losing streak and just made it to the playoffs. And now, you know, the Kings are pretty much on that pedestal as far as the Big Four is as far as the losing streak. Would that be kind of like an incentive for this team to, you know, to go in there and hurry up and take the playoffs? I had to ask.
No, for sure, for sure. I mean, that's great for them. But I think, like I said, not comparing teams year to year, this is a new group. You know what I mean? For a guy like Kevin Herter, for a guy like Keegan Murray, Malik Monk, these guys are wearing a Sacramento Kings uniform for the very first time. So they don't necessarily have that burden on them of however many years. They're saying, look, I want to come here and make my mark as a King today. And I think that's really what it's about for our unit, for our coaching staff, for everyone who's here right now, is we need to establish our identity as this group. And this, you know, and this
I like that quote from HB right there. And shout out to all the smart asses in the chat house. We literally just tested this on Friday, and yet every one of them thinks I can't read their message that says we can't hear it. Yeah, so the next one to text it, I'm just throwing out of the chat permanently. But HB pointing out, yo, this isn't the same group. Like, this is a different group, and we're trying to accomplish different things here. And all of it, good for the Seattle Mariners. Shout out, I think that was Antonio Harvey who brought that up.
Shout out, Tony.
We've got business to take care of here.
Yeah, man. Like, it's one of those things where the people who just come into this situation in Sacramento, sometimes it's a little unfair for them to assume the pressure and the weight of what they walked into that they had nothing to do with, right? Like, you're talking about a playoff drought, franchise hasn't done – that weight shouldn't be on Kevin Herter's shoulders, mm-hmm. Keegan Murray's shoulders, Malik Monk's shoulders. It shouldn't be. It's a whole new era, a whole new group. These guys are coming in with their own experiences and with a fresh slate here in Sacramento. But – the truth of the matter is, whether we like it or not, it does get heaped upon their shoulders. Like, the weight of not making it is something that they have to feel. They have to know the sense of urgency about what's going on here. Like we talked about a couple of times before with Monty McNair. He hasn't missed the playoffs 16 straight years. He's only missed the playoffs two straight years, right? Yeah. But he understands a sense of urgency. It's the nature of the beast. It is what it is. So I appreciate Harrison's response to that question. I completely understand it. And a lot of what he says there, I agree with. But I also understand why the question was asked and why it is. Like,
sure.
You're with the Kings, and this is what you – this is. It's almost like a marriage, married into a family. This is what you married into. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're getting all the pressures and everything that comes along with this 16-year streak, even though you haven't even played a game for the Kings yet. Yeah. It's nature of the beast.
Fair or foul, you've got that uniform on, and mm-hmm. until that streak is snapped, you're going to be asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you think about Harrison's response to his – future in Sacramento and kind of understanding, you know, I know I'm in trade rumors. Like, I'm used to that. It's been like that. Like, I get it. I'm here. My focus is here. My focus is getting this team off and running.
Yeah. I thought it was, it didn't say much. You know what I mean? Like, he said,
there's probably not much you can really say. I feel like he covered the bases. Like, I know, but I'm here. I don't know what you really can offer past that.
I mean, he talks about, you know, the stability of being here and things like that. But I don't look at his answer or look at him any type of way for answering that way. What do you want me to say? I don't know. I don't know. Like, if things are going great, I'd love to be here in Sacramento, but who knows if things are going to go great, you know, based on everything that's gone on in my time here in Sacramento. And when I say great, I mean winning-wise. You know, I wouldn't expect him to be like, yeah, I want to be here at all costs. Because if this team falters again, if they're not good again, and he misses out on the playoffs, I wouldn't blame Harrison one bit if he said, you know, I don't want to be. Like, I'm trying to win. I'm entering the second half of my career. And I want to start playing, you know, for a winner. So I would completely understand that. I think it's as simple for him as if this team shows they're headed in the right direction definitively, not, oh, we got some pieces and we can do some things, but definitively headed in the right direction. I'm talking a play-in appearance or a playoff appearance, play-in appearance at the least.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can, all that other stuff can factor in. Like, man, okay, they're heading in the right direction. They're showing that they're playing some winning basketball. I have been here 4 or 5 years. I got a family here. This is a nice place to raise a family. I'm settled. All right, man, I'll continue on this journey here in Sacramento. But nothing can be really be said right now. And I don't blame him for not saying, like, anything definitively other than, yeah, because he said, I'm, you know, I've been here for a while. It's good to be here and be in one place for a while. That's all he said. So,
well, here's the thing for Harrison, whether Harrison likes it or not, or this fan base likes it or not, or Monty McNair likes it or not, Harrison Barnes is going to play a major role in whether this team succeeds or fails.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the thing that everyone just has to get used to is you may have this grand trade in your mind, and because the trade machine told you it works, you think it's viable. It clearly isn't because Harrison is still here.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly nothing that has come to Monty McNair. Well, Monty McNair, you know, I got to imagine Monty looks at this the same way we do. Okay, what's better than Harrison Barnes right now that I can get? Because I got to win right now. I don't, as it stands right now, if I'm Monty McNair, I don't have a next year.
Mm-hmm.
I have to win right now, and a slow start would be really bad for my chance to win this year. What's better than Harrison Barnes right now? And I think the resounding answer, one, even being on the outside looking in, is not much. Like, realistically, not much.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, and asset management and all of that. I think Harrison Barnes is going to be here the entire year. If the Kings are able to win him over, if everything mutually works out with the two, man, fantastic. And Harrison winds up signing an extension and is here a few more years, like, cool. If he doesn't, like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But Harrison Barnes is vital to the success of the Sacramento Kings this year.
Mm.
And I, you know, there's obviously no way he can settle into that spot simply because of his contract status. And that's just not how the league works. But there is a situation, obviously, where he's moving. I think the team's not playing well by, you know, February. Harrison's gone, but at that point, if the team's not playing well and you're trading Harrison Barnes, it doesn't matter. Like, everything has gone to hell at that point. This team starts well. Harrison's immediate future is solidified here, in my opinion. I don't think there's a situation where Harrison's value, like, skyrockets. I think everybody knows.
He could be playing, like, really, really well.
Yeah. I don't think that changes. Like, Harrison was averaging like 26 points a game in the first three games of last year, or four games mm-hmm. of last year, or something like that. I don't think anything. If Harrison was averaging 25 points per game, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
25 points per game in February. You think his value on the trade market is skyrocketed?
Not skyrocketed. It could be higher. So I see your point. Like, right now, I don't think you can get a first-round pick for him if he's doing that and a team
not,
is desperate
not,
enough.
Not one above 16 or something.
Well, no, because who's trading for him is like a team trying to get a championship.
That's what I mean. Like,
I don't
even if
you
did
get
a
that now, though.
But even if you did get a first-round pick in February, like, Would that be worth it?
If you're going to lose
him. If you're talking like 28, 29?
Well, if you think you're going to lose him, yeah. Like, if you think he's gone, because I agree with you. If you're trading him, you're probably out of it. So if you think he's leaving, yeah, you trade him for a first-round pick. Get something.
Well, yeah. No, I got you. Like, I'm with you on that part. But if the team is performing well, mm-hmm. and oh, if Harrison's averaging, if Harrison is averaging 25 points per game in February, the Kings are doing well. There's just no situation in where, unless Sabonis is gone and Fox is gone and they're all out for the season and it's just Harrison scoring a bunch of points and the Kings losing. Yeah. That's the only way. But we were talking about his value going up. And if his value goes up to a first round pick in February where he's playing really well, you don't know whether you're going to have him next year or not. Do you move him? And I still say no. Unless for some reason a team who has a higher draft pick, then you could sway me a little bit. But even that, I think, is sketchy at best.
The interesting thing about Harrison to me in the whole conundrum around him, and I tried to talk to James about this when he was on one of these days, one of the past weeks or so, is I think numbers-wise, this team is potentially set up for Harrison to take a step back, numbers wise, and be more impactful and fit a little bit more. What do you average, 17 a night or something like that? Last night.
Like that.
I'm of the belief, at least what he's shown me, that's not his bag right now. Because to average 17 a night and be a consistent ball player and not have the Willie Cauley-Stein 8 rebounds a night, you know what I'm saying, where you get 16 one night and then none the next and you average 8. That's kind of how I felt Harrison 17 a night was. To get that and be consistent with your play, you got to shoot the ball a lot. You got to shoot the 3 ball a lot. You got to be extremely aggressive on the offensive end. And I don't know if he necessarily wants to take on that role. So I say that to say, his numbers could go down and he be just as valuable, if not more, than he was last year.
Absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. 100%. We went over this a week or two ago. He shot double digit 3-pointers twice in the first 3 games. 11 attempts in game number 1, 10 attempts in game number 3. Mm-hmm. He never shot double digit 3-point attempts again the entire season. I wanted to go back and see this because you mentioned that a couple of times. It is worth pointing out. Was it an ankle? His foot. Yeah. He missed 5 games. You see it in his game logs. A lot changed in the games leading into him missing time and then the games coming out of that 5-game period that he missed. He had a few really strong stretches late in the season. But, yeah, there's that wild game in Boston where he played 24 minutes. He had 10 points the night before, 21 points the night after, and 0 in the middle.
Hmm.
And there are some single-digit point nights from Harrison Barnes where he played 30-plus minutes and scored 6. He played 29 minutes and 48 seconds. This was, again, against Boston. He scored 4. He had too many single-digit point nights last season. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We will also dive into that Raiders win against the Broncos in Las Vegas. We've also got our Ceiling is the Roof.
I'm not convinced that it was. I'm going to have to look at some footage.
Ceiling is the Roof performance of the night brought to you by ACR Solar and Roofing, also on the way here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Hey, David, I had another dream this past week.
Who got you? Who got you? Who was it? Anthony Edwards? Chet Holmgren, who got you this time?
Jay Sean Tate? Nobody got. That's my boy, Jay Sean Tate, too. But nobody got me. But I had a dream that you just walked off in the middle of the show.
That wasn't a dream, buddy. That was a premonition. That wasn't a dream. That was
something happened. I think I might have said something or something. Damien just muted himself, got pissed off, walked off, and then there was a window where we were at. He had a pickup truck, and I see the pickup truck driving off, and I tell Jesse, I said, "Is he leaving?"
Honestly, that might not even be a dream. That might just be like a vision or something.
I'm telling you. That's a premonition. That's just looking ahead to the future. I love that that's my reputation. That's just so awful. Like, I've got to do better. Like, that. My reputation is getting mad and storming off of a show. Despite the fact I've never actually left a live broadcast.
No. Not under your own power. I mean, the Folsom or Roseville Internet kicked you off one time.
They did. Yeah, they
have my man at Sprouts trying to do the show.
It was Nugget, but I was trying. It turns out West Roseville doesn't have the best cell phone connection. Also, my cell phone service is ass. So that didn't help either, but I was just driving around. I just desperately wanted to be a part of the show and couldn't. Got to the parking lot, was like, yeah, do this thing. This isn't going to do it either.
Miss Matt, I don't know why he was in a pickup.
I looked out the
office window. He's driving off, and it was a brown pickup. And I told Jesse, I said, is he leaving?
That's gone. That's the only part of the story that's not believable, is the pickup truck part. Everything else, it could happen. Everything else has almost happened. But the pickup truck, not so much. No, not quite there. But again, I love that that's my reputation.
Well, you know, another thing that happened.
Get mad enough to leave.
This weekend that had nothing to do with you is Saturday night. Because I had a free weekend this weekend, right? There was no games, didn't have anywhere to be. So you know what that meant. Put things together. So that's what I had to do all weekend long.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all good. But I was in the room putting something together, and I just finished watching Clemson and NC State. Mm-hmm. And I actually, which, you know, hey, shout out to ESPN. Shout out to everybody involved. I asked for it. They delivered. I watched the Pat McAfee broadcast. They give you, for that game, they gave, you know, like three or four different broadcasts. So I watched the Pat McAfee broadcast. So
they're like, we're getting our money's worth with Pat McAfee.
Absolutely. He didn't just quit SmackDown. I saw him on Game Day and this other telecast. The hell with SmackDown. But I had the volume down, so I don't really know how good it was. But they were, like, focused in on the gambling aspect towards the end of that game because it was clear Clemson was going to win. And they were like, come on, like, we need to cover, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, that game goes off, and Reese was bored in the house. And I was challenging him to stay up till 10 o'clock so he could watch the Warriors. Like, oh, the Warriors game, come on, at 10. Like, you got to stay up, though. I don't think you can stay up. He's like, I can stay up. I can do it.
Can't walk around wearing a Warriors championship ring if you're not staying up till 10 o'clock.
I mean,
look. During the preseason.
We had a nice business arrangement, you know, we did business together. It was good. We've moved on to separate endeavors at this point, so it's just all it is.
Reese didn't. Reese, first day of school, man, was out there with his championship ring on, or whatever. Might have been after the championship. I don't know. I feel like Cheryl and Elk Grove took the picture, but
he don't listen to nothing I tell him half the time. But I do all this stuff, and I'm trying to. I'm not going to bog him down with watching SC Arizona State. So I try to say, let's throw a movie on here. Let's keep you awake. And me trying to be a good dad and give him, like, experiences of movies to watch, I found Bad News Bears on HBO Max.
Okay.
We be romanticizing these old movies, man. These movies.
We?
These movies.
We?
Kind of suspect.
Feel like Uncle Phil. Who is we?
First of all, there's not a lot of lines in these movies. Like, not a lot of acting going on. It feels like not a lot of lines, and then it's just not that good. Although the movie is fine. I'm talking about the the structure of the movie compared to like Something Today. Like, they don't talk a lot. There's a lot of moving and the long pauses between talking. It's just really weird. And there's a lot of cursing by kids in that movie.
Mm.
They're saying whatever. Doing whatever.
No, it was a different
still a
time,
good movie, though. Still a good movie.
So all of that just to get to it's still a good movie?
Yeah, it's still a good movie. It's better than what's that movie Jesse likes? With Keanu Reeves. What is it, Hardball?
It's a baseball
or like
movie?
That? Yeah, with Baby G.
I don't know what that is.
I forgot what the name of the movie was, but that movie was kind of weak.
You better stop. It's called Hardball, and you better stop. All right, it's not weak. It's fine. All right.
But Hardball, and Like Mike, just two weak movies.
No, no.
Like Mike really is sorry.
Like Mike is fine. Like Mike wasn't for you. It was for me. It wasn't for you.
Like Mike was sorry. Hardball's like, it's okay. Like Mike, I was so disappointed. Guy was dunking from the three-point line. Come on, man.
Don't you like Mike 2 better?
No, it was whatever.
I'll stick to this. Like Mike 2 is a remake. It's a kids' movie remake of Above the Rim.
So I didn't finish Like Mike. I'm going to have to see that again. Now I'm going to have to see it. Yeah. But Hardball can't hold a candle to Little Big League, Rookie of the Year, The Sandlot. It's like it's not even close.
The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen. Let's keep moving forward.
The Ceiling is the Roof performance of the night, brought to you by ACR Solar and Roofing. Call 916-481-7200 to set your appointment. An old roof can cause high energy bills. Maybe solar paneling isn't necessarily what you're looking for. You just want to get that roof replaced. Or maybe solar panel is exactly what you're looking for. John and his amazing team over there can take care of you. Again, ACR Solar and Roofing, 916-481-7200. Raider Nation, Josh Jacobs gets the Ceiling is the Roof performance of the night. I'm a big Josh Jacobs fan. I was happy to see him touch the rock regularly last night. 144 yards on the ground for Josh Jacobs, along with two touchdowns. Damn near had as many yards on the ground as Derek Carr had in the air. If this, the first Raider coach that figures out the formula is to run the ball with Josh Jacobs, you could be in pretty good shape. Now, I realized as I was on with our crew over at CBS 13 last night, missed you for sure, Sarah and Ben, it's like, you stick with this. You've got to, I need to see it next week, and I need to see it the week after. But the formula is, this regularly happens, and it's not exclusive to the Las Vegas Raiders. It happens all of the time. You see something like this from the Raiders. You know, that run game is really the reason that they won this, though. I think they got some help, and we'll talk about that in a second. But they got Kansas City coming up on Monday. So you know what happens. Patrick Mahomes gets a score. Maybe they go down 10-0. Maybe they go down 14-0. And Derek Carr is going to wind up throwing the ball 57 times. Because they, of course, when you go down 10-0 or 14-0, you got to make up that 10 or 14 points on one drive. So you've just got, because it could be the first quarter, but you've got to get down the field and score as quickly as possible or time is going to run out. That's what these teams do. They get rattled off of their game plan. They stop using what works. Josh Jacobs worked yesterday against a very good, very stingy Denver Broncos defense, or at least leading into the game. They had been really, really good and really stingy, and I thought that was a good approach by the Raiders. He had that big 43-yard run that they kind of fell short on, but ultimately they were able to get the win, and that's what matters.
Let me ask you a question. Remind me about the Broncos, because I have something very important that I need to say about the Broncos, and an important question to
Same.
Ask.
I know what you're going to ask. I'd bet money I know what you're going to ask. But go ahead. Go ahead.
So this is, in our 2 years of doing the show, 2+ years, this is a D'Lo-ism.
Oh.
Is give the ball to Josh Jacobs. Run the ball. Stop throwing the ball all over the place. Run the ball with Josh Jacobs. That's your key to success. And I don't disagree with you. And I actually don't have a problem with what I'm just literally asking a question. Why do you think that Kyle Shanahan should do the same thing with the Niners? Because you, me, sometimes other people go crazy on Kyle Shanahan for being too conservative and sticking to the run instead of airing it out more. Is it just a personnel issue? Like, do they not have somebody as good as Josh Jacobs? That's why they should throw it a little bit more than what they do?
Well, I don't think I'm overly critical of Kyle Shanahan for being conservative. I'll be critical for Kyle Shanahan for other reasons, but I don't think I'm critical of him being conservative. I feel like I understand what he likes to do as a coach. You know what I mean? Like, we go back to the first game of the year. I know there were a lot of 49er fans upset about the way that he called that game. He called the game exactly how I thought he would. Because it, regardless of the elements of that Chicago game, I was looking at, like, you want to ease Trey Lance into this. Don't make Trey Lance win this game. Like, try to win in a different way. Use your running backs. Use what got you to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, which was your run game. It was accented, of course, by the way that Jimmy Garoppolo played, but they had an incredible rushing attack. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs falls short sometimes too. I don't want to like overdo this with him at all. He falls short sometimes, but I feel like what happens is he'll have a game like this. I feel like he's going to touch the ball 12 times against Kansas City.
Mm.
And, you know, the way that Raider defense is, you know, they may very well could be down 14-0 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
But I feel like Josh Jacobs is a good running back. And if you establish him early, I feel like that opens things up for Derek Carr a little bit. It makes things a little bit easier for Derek Carr. I don't think anything got easier for Derek Carr at all last night. He had some issues, and I think he just thought, get the ball to Davante Adams and just get me out of here. Get the ball to Davante, hand the ball to Josh. Get the ball to Davante, hand the ball to Josh. Like, that was their whole – that's why they won yesterday. And their defense played well enough to get that win. Their defense had a 12th man on the field, and I'll get to that in a sec. Well, he wasn't a 12th man on the field. He was just a 12th man in a Raider uniform, and it was Nathaniel Hackett. And we'll talk more about that.
13th man, Melvin Gordon out there, dropping passes, fumbling, scooping score.
Hey, man. Okay, we'll get there. I want to talk more about the Raiders.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.